The basis of the human mind is stainless purity, yet not many recognize that yet. More and more people will live from, operate from, be as the underlying basis of the mind rather than its contents. Humankind has allowed itself to misuse the resources of its mind and body through the preoccupation with the contents of the mind, believing that the contents of the mind are one's identity. Yet, to examine anything and see whether or not it's true, to develop a balanced view of what's going on, requires familiarity with all the points of view involved in the topic. And so when it comes to the mind, to just take it for granted that the mind is its contents, in other words, its thoughts, emotions, and experiences, which I commonly call points of view, that's synonymous with the three, thoughts, emotions, and experiences. To believe that one is one's points of view and just take it for granted that that's what their mind is to completely miss the scope of what the mind is. The mind has two modes that are commonly recognized. One is its active mode of conceptualizing, in other words, thoughts, emotions, experiences, points of view. And the other is an inactive mode. Those are the two that are commonly recognized. The inactive mode is entirely non-conceptual. However, neither of those modes have anything to do with what human identity truly is. Human identity is rooted in the operating system of the mind, human awareness, awareness in its own right. It's only from that awareness that the contents of the mind are known. Without awareness, the contents of the mind cannot be known. These two are not inseparable. The awareness and its contents are completely inseparable, like the sky and the color blue. They cannot be separated out from each other. The contents of the mind are the dynamic energy of the human awareness that is their basis. But to take the contents as our identity is to constantly be jockeying around from one extreme to another throughout all of our lives, looking at all these contents of the mind and trying to make them into something we can live with. And when we spend our life on that project trying to make the contents of the mind something we can live with, it's doomed to failure. It's completely doomed to failure because there's no way to rearrange the contents of the mind into something that will give us permanent satisfaction and fulfillment. The contents of the mind by nature are temporary, and something that is temporary cannot provide any reassurance whatsoever. Not only that, the contents of the mind have no independent nature. They have no independent origin. They are insubstantial and identityless in their own right. It is only in their source and awareness that they are. So they have no independent nature. They have no independent origin outside of awareness. No point of view has ever existed elsewhere. So no point of view, no matter what it is, has any kind of entity status. And another way to describe that is that within the pure view of the all-encompassing view of awareness, all points of view are included and contained. If we only know about the points of view and spend our life scurrying around from one point of view to another to try to make sense of things, we'll just exhaust ourselves in our own dilemma of seeking satisfaction in something temporary. However, if we become familiar with the operating system of the mind, awareness, we quickly see that these contents of the mind really aren't who we are. That isn't our identity. That's a conventional identity that many human beings believe to be the only identity there is. However, it's not the only identity there is. That's conventional identity, really based on primitive and even superstitious belief systems and assumptions about what the mind is. And awareness itself is another identity entirely, and that is called the wisdom identity. The wisdom identity. When we're wrapped up in a conventional identity of the contents of mind, then our body, speech, our mind, and all the qualities and activities of our life are an outpouring of the frenzy of different points of view. When we grow familiar with awareness, the operating system of all of mind, then in our wisdom identity, our body, our speech, our mind, our qualities, our activities are those of wisdom. They're wise and they're of great benefit. They're naturally compassionate. How is that so? Because awareness sees all. It's not focused on any points of view at all. In not being focused on any particular point of view, it completely understands and goes beyond all points of view. The wisdom body, the wisdom identity, is completely beyond all words and concepts. And in that sublime reality that cannot be described with words, the most powerful actions of human beings pour forth. So far beyond anything that can be achieved with the conventional mind that it defies not only description but sometimes belief as well. Human beings are capable of incredible things, and this has been true of human beings throughout time. Not only are human beings capable of incredible things, but human beings throughout time have demonstrated incredible things. So when we're looking for the fundamental nature of mind, awareness, it's important to know that it isn't the frenzy of activity of the contents of the mind, but it's also not the non-conceptual mind. Both are points of view. The non-conceptual mind without any concepts going on in it, that is not realization of anything other than another point of view. In awareness, there are no points of view. There's no attempt to get to a destination. It's in the inseparability of awareness and any circumstantial point of view that is appearing that the wisdom identity is found. So the wisdom identity is not in awareness rather than point of view. The wisdom identity is in awareness as point of view. And this is amazing. It's truly amazing. It's so far beyond what most of us have learned about our mind that it really is truly amazing. Most of us have learned that we have to rearrange all these contents of our mind, constantly seeking to have better contents of our mind in order to feel good about ourselves, in order to have well-being, in order to know what to do and how to act. So to find that in already accomplished awareness are solutions to problems beyond anything we could have imagined, it requires a leap of faith. for some. For others, it's really easy. They get it right away. But for most, it requires that we get familiar with awareness, that we maintain that awareness, that we stay put as awareness that is the origin of each point of view, without moving, without moving. And in that, what at once seems separate gradually is realized to be inseparable. So in maintaining awareness for short moments, repeated many times, more and more these two, awareness and its points of view, are known to be inseparable, are known to be a single expanse. That requires a number of things. One, it requires an introduction to awareness. So first of all, we have to know what awareness is. Now, being introduced to awareness is the realization of awareness. Awareness is not a destination. First, we're introduced to that reality. It's not introduced to it as something that's going to occur somewhere down the line, but up front, the introduction to awareness. Two, we need to be able to commit to that 100%. So we have to have a 100% commitment. It can't be a partial commitment. To the degree that we maintain awareness for short moments, repeated many times, until it becomes permanent and we no longer need to maintain awareness for short moments, repeated many times, we need to have that 100% commitment. And upon that commitment, we grow in confidence. We grow in confidence that awareness really is the basis of all points of view, that it's the basis of it. Every thought, every emotion, every sensation, every situation, it really is awareness that is the basis of that. And then with that indwelling confidence comes certainty. Absolute certainty at all times that this is the case, not only for each of us, but for all human beings. The inseparability of these two, awareness, timeless awareness, and its dynamic energy, points of view, is crucial. They are absolutely inseparable. Nothing needs to be changed. To try to make the points of view better by getting better points of view or railing against points of view within yourself that you don't like or railing against other people's points of view is to miss the boat entirely. The stainless purity of all points of view is guaranteed. It's already guaranteed. And it's only in maintaining that stainless purity of awareness that this can be truly realized and recognized about all points of view. Now, when we commit to gaining familiarity with awareness, to getting acquainted with awareness is the root of everything. No one else can do that for us, so it's up to us. We have to take complete responsibility for not being a victim of our own points of view. Really, rather than feeling victimized by points of view, it's interesting to see that it's a great adventure of human living. These points of view, rather than being our foes, need to be seen to be our allies. There's nothing that needs to be done about them. We don't need to get better points of view. We don't need to get rid of the points of view we don't like. It's only in gaining familiarity with the stainless purity of awareness that all faults are exhausted and all qualities are perfected. It's only in maintaining awareness that all faults are exhausted and all qualities are perfected. So to try to exhaust faults and perfect qualities within points of view, within rearranging the points of view in the mind through different methods, practices, types of inquiry, personality typing, or whatever it may be, is to just enter into a spiral of hell of points of view, more concepts to try to uphold that which is without concepts in being beyond all words and concepts. So if the stainless purity of awareness is what is being looked for, then to engage in effort like that is really foolhardy. It won't ever lead anywhere. In gaining familiarity with awareness, there are a number of things that really support that. One is having a teacher. Another is having a teaching that is totally direct and unrelenting in terms of its message. In other words, the message of the teaching is that all points of view are already stainlessly pure. And that is what is unrelentingly communicated. There's never any positing of saying that there's someone who needs to be fixed in any way. Everyone already is perfect all at once. The circumstantial points of view, the dynamic energy of awareness, they're perfect all at once. And it's all only in resting as awareness for short moments repeated many times until it becomes permanent and there's no need to try to rest that faults are exhausted and qualities are perfected. So don't try to do it with a teaching that is focused on perfecting qualities and exhausting faults. Do you see what I'm saying? It's only in the stainless purity of awareness and maintaining that faults are exhausted and qualities are perfected. I'm going to say that over and over and over again, because it is so far from what most of us have learned. Most of us have learned that in order to be good people, we have to constantly strive to be good people and battle against the bad people. That's exactly what we've learned. And we've learned to focus on how right we are and how wrong a lot of other people are, and uphold our self-righteousness and by doing so. So you see, when it comes to maintaining the stainless purity of awareness, all that comes to a complete halt. All of the blaming of people, places, and things, all of the needing to adopt positions in order to feel good about oneself, the adoption of extremes, I'm a progressive liberal or I'm an extreme right political person or I'm in the middle, all of these positions are completely set aside. There's no fruit in taking a position anywhere. There's absolutely no fruit in taking a position anywhere. No quality will be perfected through doing so. Not in yourself and not in humankind altogether. It's only in the wisdom identity of stainless and pure awareness that humankind can come to terms with exhausting its faults and perfecting its qualities. That's the only solution. It is the only solution. It's the only solution for individuals and more human beings in a grassroots sweep around the world are realizing this. And so for the individual, it's key, and for humankind, it's key. Without that, the species will dwindle. With awareness is the basis, the species will thrive. It's as simple as that. So it's not a complicated matter. So the teacher is key, the teaching is key, a direct practice that isn't a practice is key. So the direct practice is to gain familiarity with awareness, to maintain awareness, to stay put in awareness without elaborating on it and describing points of view, without further elaborating and describing the contents of the mind. To continue to elaborate and describe the contents of the mind is to stay wrapped up in its vicious loops of thinking, emoting, and experiencing in ways that are all focused on staying within some kind of a position about who one takes oneself to be. To stay put in awareness is to find that that is what is crucial. The contents of the mind can't be rearranged into better contents. How's that going to help anybody when they die? It's not going to be of any help whatsoever. When we die or get sick, we're completely at a loss for being able to have the energy to maintain all that focus on the contents of the mind. We can't do it anymore, and the points of view just go pell-mell, whether we're seriously ill or dying. The points of view, they just go pell-mell. We have points of view that we never thought would enter our mind. Never thought would enter our mind. We're thinking about the past. We're thinking about no future. We're thinking about what's going on there, and our mind's of no help to us whatsoever. The active mind is of no help, and the non-conceptual mind is of no help either. We can't maintain a conceptual mind, and the active mind is just going berserk with a bunch of points of view that are totally outside our control, and we don't have the energy to try to manage them anymore. So, you know, that focusing a life's project on arranging the contents of the mind is a fruitless endeavor. It doesn't help us during life, and it doesn't help us when we get sick or are on our deathbed. It doesn't help us in our relationships with other people, and it certainly doesn't help us form groups of people that are anything other than an assemblage of points of view. So even though the group may look good at first, it will always devolve in, if it's based on points of view, it will devolve into something we don't like. It will devolve into something uncomfortable for many people. This is always the case. When groups of people are not based on points of view, but rather on awareness, the stainless purity of awareness, then people come together with that stainless purity of awareness as what is of paramount importance in the group. That is what is of paramount importance. Everyone is committed to that. And everyone within the group knows that that is what the group is based on. It's very clear. All-encompassing awareness includes and contains all points of view, but the commitment is to awareness. So an authentic teacher and teaching communicate that. And when there is an authentic teacher and teaching that communicates only that direct, unrelenting message with total authority and conviction, then the community is a community where people thrive. It's a community where it's based on mutual love and respect of the commitment to living as awareness for the benefit of the whole. It's just the way it is. So now we have three And in the Great Freedom Teaching, we call these the four comforts. So far we've talked about three: the teacher, the teaching, and the community. And the fourth is the practice of maintaining awareness. So to rest is awareness for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes permanent, and there's no need to try to rest anymore. Those are the four things. There has to be a practice that is the same practice for everyone in the group. And it isn't a practice leading to a destination. It's gaining familiarity with the decisive experience of awareness as inseparable from all points of view. They're called the four comforts because they bring total comfort. They bring total comfort. And it isn't a community that is needs to maintain any kind of particular position about anything. The only commitment is to awareness. Awareness as all points of view. And because this is so definitive, so clear, everyone in the group understands what it is. There's no vagueness whatsoever. Absolutely no vagueness. It doesn't need any individual as a hero within the group to keep it going. Because the teaching itself is so strong that it will stand throughout time on its own with many teachers, many authentic teachers using that teaching to support people in the four comforts. So these are all very important matters. Now, most people, because human beings are pack animals, we're animals and we're pack animals. Most human beings like to gather together in community for such a commitment to maintain awareness in the direct encounter with all points of view, inner and outer. Most people like to gather together in community for that. It's just the way most people are. However, there will always be people who are lone rangers who like to do it on their own. It's not something I would suggest. However, if a person does want to do it on their own, they can take the teaching and attempt to do it on their own. I can tell them, as clear as day, as clear as the ring of the bell, all of the pitfalls they will face in doing so. Because without a teacher, without a community, then it's like wanting to climb Mount Everest and wanting to do it alone. Well, who would want to do that? It would be completely absurd to try to climb Mount Everest alone when there are other people who have climbed Mount Everest many times and taken people safely to the top. Why do it alone? Why do it alone? So, but nevertheless, I'm sure there have been people who have struck out for the pinnacle of Everest on their own, but I've never known anyone who made it. And I've never heard a story of anyone who made it. Because what happens? Well, at first there's great faith that Everest can be climbed alone. And so the person has the trail maps and they think they know what they're going. But then all of a sudden they reach a terrain that is unexpected. They've never been in such a terrain before. It's an avalanche area, or there's an abyss that needs to be crossed and you can't see it anywhere on the trail map. And then even if you make it through all those obstacles and get up near the top, then high altitude sickness sets in and your mind is totally unclear. You don't know what's going on and you think one thing's going on, but that's not really what's going on at all. And so you see, then these are all times when you need a guide. So most people then fall or they go to sleep. That's another side effect of high altitude sickness. Go to sleep and freeze to death. So you see, all these are parallel to what can happen trying to realize awareness on one's own. Why do that when there's so much support available? Now, in the Great Freedom Teaching, this is an authentic teaching of this time in history. So it uses all the ways human beings communicate to offer this support of community to people worldwide. And this support is available 24/7, so it's not just a matter of waiting till you go to see a teacher or waiting till you can get together with members of the community. There's support available in all those ways, but also through telephone and email 24/7. Again, it's up to us if we want to take advantage of those things. So these are the two approaches to these two, to do it as an individual or to do it as a group, to rely on others for support. It's not only easier, but it's fun. It's fun. If there's one flower in a garden, it's beautiful in its own right. But if there's a garden full of flowers, it's overwhelming in its beauty. And that in itself has its own power. When it comes to communicating the fundamental nature of human beings, the Great Freedom Teaching is very clear on its language. The language used in the Great Freedom Teaching is language that any human being can understand, and it becomes more so on a daily basis because we in Great Freedom don't see the text of the teaching as a fixed matter. We see it as fluid and dynamic. So as the needs of humankind change, then the text of Great Freedom changes in order to meet the needs of any particular time. And we have a way built in for that to occur throughout time. There are many ways of talking about the fundamental nature of being. Yet, almost all of those terms are abstractions. In other words, they're concepts, but they're not something that is decisively experienced by human beings. It isn't a bodily experience, a whole bodily experience. So we can talk about the absolute or conscious light or whatever it is, but unless we can talk about the fundamental nature of being and use the term that everyone can understand and also directly experience, unless we do so, then we don't have a way to communicate about that within ourselves or with others. So in the Great Freedom Teaching, we use the term awareness, timeless awareness. This is the fundamental nature of being. It's the fundamental nature of the mind-body mechanism of every human being. So every human being, as its mind-body mechanism, has awareness as its operating system. There isn't a human being for whom that isn't true, and there's no human being anywhere who can say, I am not aware. No one could say that, I am not aware. Awareness is the direct experience of every human being. No human being would even know that they are without awareness. Awareness is that by which we have knowledge of everything, by which we have complete knowledge of everything. When we begin to maintain awareness and we find its startling and sublime benefits, then we want to tell everyone about it. We want to tell everyone how easy it is and how there is a way that really is beyond concepts, where we don't have to constantly be spending all of our time trying to fix ourselves. We just maintain awareness and that's it, and it becomes natural, effortless. There are many people who want to know about awareness. I suggest just waiting for those people to show up and then talk to them, rather than trying to convert people who don't want to hear about it or people who want to cling to their own concepts or terms for the fundamental nature of being. People will know much more about awareness through your example of living as awareness than through preaching about it. There's no evangelizing to be done. Through your lived example of your own being, people will come up to you and ask, well, what's going on with you? I notice a change. What's happened? I'd like to know. Can you tell me more about it? That's the easy way. The other way ends up being a conversation of frustration. You can feel that frustration inside. Do you know what I'm talking about? That frustration of trying to convert someone who doesn't want to know. Of trying to introduce awareness where it isn't perceived as a need. So the easy approach is just to keep the focus on yourself and maintaining your own awareness. There are plenty of people who are wanting the same thing and they show up. So this too is the whole approach of the Great Freedom Teaching. We're here for anyone who wants to come and grow familiar with awareness. But we're not preachers or evangelists or marketing awareness. We're not marketing awareness. Word of mouth is the best approach. You know, if someone asks, what changed for you? Or asks another question, you can share that with them. If not, enjoy life. And wait, there'll be plenty of people who want to hear more. But you may never talk to them if you're spending all your time trying to get your old friends to come along for the ride, or your family members, or a person of great fortune who is able to set aside all concepts. It is a person of great good fortune who can set aside all concepts and be willing to not cling to anything as their identity. And we find as we travel the world that those people just naturally show up. Those who are ready show up. In the stainless purity of awareness, wisdom and compassion are paramount. And balance all situations. Provide solutions to all situations. When there are no extremes to adopt, then all the old ways of doing things just naturally settle out. They naturally settle out without doing anything about them. So all the faults you have they'll naturally settle out. If you think you have faults you want to get rid of, they'll naturally settle out. If you think you have qualities you want to perfect, they'll naturally shine. You'll find you have qualities you never knew you had. And all this comes from maintaining awareness, just maintaining awareness in the direct encounter with points of view. Complete perceptual openness in all experience. This is the fundamental nature of a human being. From awareness, all can be seen exactly as it is. And what is seen about today's world is that because of the belief that the contents of the mind are something important and significant and are the essence of human identity, there are many problems raging throughout the world. Famine, environmental degradation, wars, nuclear weapons, terrorism. All these things are based on extremism. Wherever there's one extreme, there has to be the opposite extreme. And the middle, too, is a response to extremes. So how is that ever going to solve anything? This is all rooted within points of view. And the way of behaving for individuals in that scenario is that we as individuals, we turn on ourselves and engage in a war within ourselves of our good points of view versus our bad points of view. So we have this extremism within ourselves that we need to be fixed, so we need to have more good points of view, and we need to find out how to have the good points of view. And then because we have no trust in anything within ourselves, we don't trust others either, because we take ourselves to be someone who's overwhelmed with needing to be fixed and on this life project of constantly trying to perfect ourselves, then we think everybody else needs to be perfected too. And so you see, what I'm saying is true, isn't it? And this occurs within us as individuals, and it occurs in our friendships, our relationships, those close to us, our family members, our community, our nations, our world. And when it plays out in these other situations, it looks just like it does within ourselves. We see other people. We think a lot of them need to be fixed. And there are a few good ones, and they're the ones who think the way we do. They have the same points of view we have. And then this just scales up to the global level. We can see it all. It's very simple, isn't it? From all-encompassing awareness, everything is seen as exactly as it is. So then what we call relationship with people, other people, is within us, we're assassinating our own character constantly through assaulting ourselves with trying to make ourselves better, assaulting and insulting ourselves. And we do the same thing with everyone else. And today, you know, this character assassination by keyboard and tongue is rampant. It's rampant. It's totally rampant. People sitting at their keyboards, sending out all kinds of missives, emails, messages, letters that are character assassinations of who knows who it is, friends, family members, people in their community, people in the state where they live, the country where they live, including all the politicians, and then also people living in other lands, the evil ones in other lands. So this is character assassination by keyboard. It's an extreme form of violence. Don't ever call it any other thing. It's an extreme form of violence based on point of view. It's as violent as the destruction of the whole world by nuclear missiles. It really is. And it is not bringing any benefit. These ways of doing things that created the problem will never solve the problem. The media, too, almost all of the media, 99.9% of the media, filled with exactly the same thing, character assassination, either by keyboard or by this meat of the tongue that is meant to be an expression of love, that is meant to be an expression of love and wisdom. The meat of the tongue is used as a violent weapon. The last public talk I gave before this retreat, someone came up and talked to me after who was absolutely certain that they've realized the ultimate in terms of the fundamental nature of mind, and sat there and character assassinated someone else. You know, this has nothing to do with the fundamental nature of being. The fundamental nature of being is wise and complete in itself. It no longer employs such techniques. Techniques such as that are exhausted in their own right. When everything is seen as spontaneously pure, then there's no longer the impulse to engage in life in such a way. It just comes to a complete stop. All is pure as it is, but that does not mean passivity. That means laser-like clarity that cuts through everything. It means a ferocity of serene wrathfulness that sees everything as it is and can respond in a very powerful fashion. This is what the wisdom identity is. It has no taking up of approaches that do anything but bring people together in a direct way, keep people herded together, all headed on a positive course. A great herd of 7 billion human beings who are interesting as beings because they have the capacity to create immense destruction. Destruction that can control the whole world. Or benefit the whole world, depending on what we commit to in terms of the use of our mind. Is it going to be awareness, the wisdom body, the wisdom identity, the wisdom speech, the wisdom qualities and activities? Or is it going to be the conventional undertaking of belief and points of view? I choose the wisdom body, the wisdom identity. And I invite everyone on the planet to do so as well. It's as easy as that. Doesn't it make sense that because we really are and this awareness is already accomplished, that it would be totally easy, so easy that most people can't even believe it could be that easy? But those who do know that it is that easy, who are completely fed up with conventional ways of living, willingly adopted, and these people are of the greatest good fortune to be able to set aside all the ways of doing things that don't work and adopt what works. So without knowing the full scope of the mind is taken to be something it's not. And then the approach to living is very limited. That's all that can be seen in terms of a solution, just, you know, like the conventions of whatever it might be, medicine, prisons, education, more broader types of health care, world hunger, all of these things, no matter what they are. There are no solutions from conventional thinking. The kinds of solutions that occur in conventional thinking are band-aids. But all the while, things get worse and worse. The population grows. There's less food to eat. There's less clean water. There's more threat of war and terrorism. We've seen all these things in our lifetime. The kind of comforts we experience here in the U.S. are being severely encroached upon, and we all feel this. We all feel this, whether we can come out of denial and admit it or not. But we are 300 million people, and the people of the world are 7 billion people. Half of those people live in Asia. There are about 3 billion people live in Asia. So there are 10 times more people in Asia than in the U.S. And many of those people need food and clean water. So it's easy to see that the resources must be shared. We've known this for a long time, but we can't see how to do it from conventional thinking. From conventional thinking, it's all I, me, mine. I want my stuff. Where's my stuff? And I want to keep it. That's the attitude in the West. Turning a blind eye, probably never even traveling to see what other people in the world live like. And if a world traveler travels the world from the vantage of all-encompassing awareness, then the only response from that travel can be one of being of benefit in some way. That's the only response that can come from that kind of travel, aware travel. There are solutions, but they're not within conventional thinking. They're definitely not within conventional thinking. The obsessive preoccupation with self of conventional mind cannot see how to benefit the whole. It always devolves into personality wars. Rather than staying with the principle of being of benefit, it devolves into personality wars. And we see this in all of our institutions, no matter what they are. Only we can take a stand, and people are doing that from the grassroots, taking a stand, not willing to go on with what's been touted about the conventional uses of mind, getting to know the mind as it really is and acting from that basis, from that wisdom identity, rather than from an identity that can uphold the species or the world. Another extreme that I've run into, in addition to the other ones we've just mentioned, is there is no world. Everything is a dream. So why bother? This is just more extremism. It's total extremism. Wherever there's genuine, authentic realization of the fundamental nature of being, it is inseparable from the desire to benefit all beings. Completely inseparable. There's never anything touted such as there is no world or it's all a dream. It might say it's like a dream, but it won't say it is a dream. It's the all-encompassing awareness sees that each point of view is a vivid appearance of stainless purity, and in that wisdom is found. It doesn't rail against points of view and try to do anything about them as though they are something in their own right. It finds the wisdom body within each point of view. to stop trying to fix ourselves with all kinds of methods and practices. First of all, we have a lot more time to be of benefit to ourselves and others. And we also have a lot more resources because we're buying a lot of books and going to a lot of workshops and things like that. And it costs a lot of money to do all those things. It's a strange preoccupation when what we are is already here and it need only be maintained as what it is. It's not a destination. It's not getting to some kind of blowout state where there are no points of view from then on. It's the resolution of all points of view in the stainless space of awareness. Hundreds of years ago, Padmasambhava said, when the true nature of phenomena is realized, solitude has little benefit. Solitude is seen as some kind of second rate entertainment.